This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Well, you're not finished, but I am. You thought, and so I want to say thank you. You all have really blessed me. I've gotten acquainted with a new generation a little bit. You don't know how an audience response affects the speaker, so you're a great bunch. And I want to thank the leadership team. They're high-risk people calling in the old geezer. I mean, especially I want to thank them. They're gone. They're not only great musicians. I've gotten a little bit to feel their pulse, and they really love the Lord. And if they're still around and haven't fled, I want to thank them. Well, we've spent the week thinking about the God-intended life. God's standard? God's standard?
Jesus!
God's provision?
Holy Spirit!
Oh, good. Now on the third part of sanctification, I'm sure you're ahead of me. You know the single word that connects, right? So, today's theme is in the God-intended life is the response needed to connect with the provision. And by the way, stay connected. To find the one-word answer, consider the only verse in the Old Testament that is quoted three times in the New Testament. The just shall live by faith. And then the author of the Hebrews warns us, without faith, it is impossible to please God, to stay connected. How do you plug into the energizing power of the Holy Spirit? Faith. But remember, the faith plug that connects to the power source has two prongs. Now, if we were talking about initial saving faith, you would know. Repent and believe, right? But Paul describes the faith, the two prongs for sanctifying faith. And to see that, I would like for us to look at my paraphrase of our theme verse for the week. All of us who have the sin barrier removed and who keep a steady faith focus on Jesus are being transformed in our core being from one level of His glorious likeness to another by the Spirit of the Lord. Notice, first of all, that this promise isn't for all believers. He doesn't just say we all. He defines who the we all are. It happens only in the life of the one who has the sin barrier removed and who keeps a steady faith focus on Jesus. Another way to put it is to say we've got to be yielded, the sin barrier removed, and we've got to trust Jesus to do what He has promised. If either one is missing, it's disconnect. So yield and trust. That probably reminds you, if you're awake, of how we illustrated this earlier in the week. You remember the ropeway in Japanese, the ropeway with the outside power and the inside power to just draw us up and up and up toward the likeness of Jesus. But our responsibility, yield and trust. And as we yield and trust, the Spirit power flows and up we go. Or maybe you remember my mother. When I was a boy, she said, Robertson, the secret to the victorious Christian life is in your two hands. Remember? And then she spelled it out. Y-I-E-L-D-T-R-U-S-T. There you have it. Yield. The sin barrier removed. We find that in the lead up to our theme verse in 2 Corinthians 3. But their minds were hardened. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So that's the good news. When we first come to faith and repent of our sins, the sin barrier is taken away. Notice that the two prongs of saving faith, repent and believe, are the same as for our sanctification, yield and trust. But we can get unplugged, can't we, from the source of sanctifying power. Saying no to God, we'll do it instantly. Disconnect. But for most of us, the barrier sort of drifts back in unconsciously through little compromises or neglecting the weapons of our warfare, prayer, scripture, body life among believers. So the yielding prong to faith must stay connected. And then there's the other prong to biblical faith, trust, a steady faith focus on Jesus. One time when I was introducing the book Life in the Spirit to a group in Texas, right in the middle, a pastor stood up and he said, "Is that what we find in Hebrews 12? And I said, "Oh, yes." Notice that, and I've been using it ever since. Notice the word here is spoken to believers. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So that's the first prong, right? And run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, on whom faith depends from start to finish. So there you have it, yield and trust. First prong of our connection is here. But notice the trust prong. Fix our eyes on Jesus, on whom faith depends from start to finish. And that's our theme verse for the week. Keep a steady faith focus on Jesus. If either prong is shorted out, it's disconnect. Both yield and trust plugged in, and the Holy Spirit power flows. So I want you to think for a few minutes about how we can get unplugged. There are three ways. Unplug with a yield plug, the first one. Three ways that can happen. Ignorance. Ignorance of God's standard. Ignorance of God's provision. Ignorance of God's standard. The other day I was in a doctor's office where I spend a lot of time. And for the first time, I met a young nurse who was taking good care of me. And I'd estimate 7 or 8 months pregnant. And nonchalantly, she said to me, a perfect stranger, or so I thought, mentioned she was planning a wedding to the man who had fathered her baby, I hope. She was blinded by the prevailing culture. But was she really ignorant of God's standard? She told me she had heard me preach once. Obviously not on fornication. And when I told her the church I belonged to, she said, "Oh, that's where I attend." If she attended very often, she wasn't ignorant of God's standard, I'm sure. So maybe she wasn't so ignorant of God's will, but of God's judgment on sin. Or maybe she had struggled with temptation and was ignorant of God's provision to overcoming temptation. At any rate, she seemed ignorant of how to live the God-intended life. How about you? After this week, you can never plead ignorance, can you? So more often the power disconnect is rebellion. I know God's will, but I don't like it. Have you ever heard the old hymn, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way"? Well, When my oldest sister was a toddler, her mother came in the room and found her in a little rocking chair, tiny rocking chair, rocking her doll and sweetly singing, "I have my own way, Lord, I have my own way." And believe me, she did. That was long before Frank Sinatra sang his most famous song, "I Did It My Way." That's one sure way to unplug. Paul teaches us, do not grieve the Spirit. Deliberate rejection of the known will of God will not just grieve the Spirit, will quench the Spirit. We're no more power flow. But for most true believers, more often than deliberate rebelling to unplug is spiritual drift. The most common way for the sin barrier to drift in, to get the yield prong unplugged with slow drifting, is rationalization, right? Oh, it's not so bad. Everyone does it. Or, that's just the way I am. We rationalize. And most of us are pretty good at that. Or, maybe I try to figure out a way to reinterpret the plain teaching of Scripture. Remember one time when the president of the student body came into my office to see me. He had a complaint. He was a wonderful guy. And he was complaining about the rule we had then, I hope we still do, that unengaged couples were not supposed to kiss. And so he was complaining about that rule. He says, it's not lust. I don't have any sexual desire. He says, it's just, I like to say goodnight that way. So I said, well, if it's no temptation for you, you're unlike most guys, but then you're not breaking the rules. But you are breaking the screw rules, so let's try to stick by that. You know, I think I better tell you, the next day, or 2 days later, he stopped me out on campus and he said, Mr. McQuilkin, I've got to tell you, I didn't tell you the truth the other day. He said, most of the girls I kiss, it doesn't mean anything. But some, it really does. So he'd come to honesty. He'd overpassed his rationalization. So I need to tell you that that dear brother graduated, married one of those girls he kissed, and has had a long career of very effective pastoral ministry. More often than the drift, comes not through deliberate rebellion, but through neglect of the weapons the Spirit has provided. At least that's the way it is with me. Prayer, Bible study, fellowship and accountability with other believers. When I feel the cloud drifting in and the personal relationship with my traveling companion, the Holy Spirit, grows dim, neglect of what the Spirit has provided is usually the culprit. How's your prayer life? Scripture meditation, church life. Neglect of even one of those weapons of the Spirit can unplug you from the power source. That's the way it works. Whatever means the great deceiver uses to blow that cloud of separation between you and your inside companion, ignorance, rebellion, or drift, the yield plug must be kept tight. I think we need to check up on that every day. Don't you? And another prong of faith, connection, the trust prong. First yield, then trust. How do we get trust unplugged? Let me show you three video clips from the Bible to demonstrate how we unplug the trust prong of faith. So watch them. And the first will be Luke chapter 8. While he was still speaking to her, a messenger arrived from Jairus' home with the message, "Your little girl is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just trust me, and she will be all right." When they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, James, John, and the little girl's father and mother. The house was filled with people weeping and wailing. But he said, "Stop weeping. She isn't dead. She's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him. These weepers laughed at him because they all knew she had died. They doubted God because they knew better. Video clip number 2 from Mark chapter 9. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son for you to heal him. He can't speak because he is possessed by an evil spirit and won't let him talk. And whenever his evil spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground and makes him foam at the mouth, grind his teeth, and become rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it." Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you until you believe? How long must I put up with you?" Father replied, "Since he was very small, the evil spirit often makes him fall into the fire and into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us. Do something if you can." "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly replied, "I do believe, but help me not to doubt." So the second source of doubt, they doubted God's power. The crowd doubted God because they knew better. The disciples doubted God's power. One more video clip from Mark chapter 4. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." He was already in the boat, so they started out, leaving the crowds behind. But soon a fierce storm arose. High waves began to break into the boat until it was nearly full of water. Jesus was sleeping the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Frantically, they woke him shouting, "Teacher, don't you even care that we're going to drown?" When he woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the water, "Quiet down." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm, and he asked them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith in me?" They doubted God's care. So it is with us. God, I know you want me to go that way, but I'm not sure. I think I know a better way. Or, God, you're powerful, but this one may be too hard for you. I'm hopeless, nothing but a failure. Or, God, you're smart enough, you're strong enough, but do you really care that much about me? Unplugged, shorted out, no spirit power flow. Do you see what I do when I don't trust him? I'm dissing God. I'm calling into question his very character. His character is maligned in me, my response, my behavior. Let me tell you how I recently got unplugged and replugged. I wasn't ignorant, problem number one. I knew well what Scripture teaches about the God-intended life and how to live it. And I wasn't rebellious, problem number two. I rarely deliberately said no to God's will as I understand it. My problem was trust. Problem number 3, and the cloud was drifting in. Oh, I continued my morning time of prayer and Bible reading, but it didn't seem alive, just a routine. So many bad circumstances kept pummeling me. I felt overwhelmed. I knew I was in trouble. So, as I've told you before, when that sort of thing happens, I go away for my personal retreat of fasting and prayer. Then it happened again. Actually, it took a while, a day or so, to rediscover what I should have been practicing all along. Praise. Focusing on God's greatness and goodness gave birth to faith. And faith replugged. The cloud disappeared. Joy bubbled. The power flowed. How is it with you? Yield and trust. Notice an important difference between yielding and trusting. Yield can be once for all. No need to deliberately ever say no to unplug. Of course, if you do say no, you need to make that yield choice again. But trust usually isn't in full bloom in an instant of decision. It seems to need grow time. Is that right? The more you companion with a friend, the more you trust him or her. I live in the hood by choice, and that means we get visitors quite often who want a handout. I think it's illegal to give them a handout, but one of them that used to come quite often, we call the dollar man. And the dollar man, if he came too often, I'd say, well, come back next week or something like that, but you see, I didn't know him, and I didn't trust him. I figured he wasn't going to do anything good, but I wasn't going to give him more than a dollar. And so he'd come and ask for a dollar, and I'd give him a dollar. Not much confidence, not much faith. But John Davidson, he's my financial advisor. I've known him many years, decades. I trust him. In fact, I trust him with all my resources. He's my power of attorney. You know what he could do? He could liquidate it all and move to Hawaii. But I trust him because I've walked with him. And so it is with the Spirit. Faith grows as you stay tight with him. And that's the God-intended life. So here we are. At the end of our brief and inadequate review of the God-intended life, God's standard, Jesus. God's provision, the Spirit. My response, faith. Yield and trust. God's plan is so simple, so beautiful. Now you've heard a bit of my story. So what's your story? Are both plugs, both prongs of your faith plug holding tight? Yield and trust. One time, a graduate student, Charlotte, came into my office, and Charlotte was a little older than the other girl. She'd been a missionary on furlough. And she was fuming. She was so angry. And she came to see me about the rules. She couldn't stand these stupid rules. And I said, well, the dean tried to persuade you to live off campus, but you wanted to stay in the dorm, so there are the rules. I don't care, they're stupid. We ought to get rid of them. So she said, I'm quitting. And I said, okay, but it's only a couple of weeks till the end of the semester, why don't you make the most of your tuition and stay till the end of the semester and then quit? No, I'm quitting now. And she stormed out. Well, the next day, another older grad student came in to see me, Virginia. And I did something I never did before or after. I said, Virginia, let me guess what the problem is. And her eyes got big. She said, what? I said, the rules. The rules? Oh, no. I love the rules. they set me free. It's just, can God ever use the likes of me? She was, now, the other students in the dormitory thought she was a living saint, but she was so obsessed with her weakness, her inadequacy. How could she ever be a missionary? How could God use her? So we prayed, and she was a bit encouraged and left. A couple weeks later, it was the winter break, and I got a gift from Florida, a box of fruit. And the return address was Charlotte and Virginia. I thought, wow. I called up the dean and said, yeah, they're roommates. Oh, and I was grateful for this peace offering that came from Florida. When we came back after the break, I looked on my calendar, and guess what? There was Charlotte. I said, oh, no, Lord, I have to go. I thought she was leaving. But she came in meek as a lamb, and she said, I've come to apologize. She said, during the break, I realized that it's not the rules. I just don't want anybody to tell me anything. Not God, not the church. And so I yielded my life to the Lord. And now, if you'll forgive me and let me stay, I'd like to finish out my term. Roll forward a few years. I'm landing in a MAF plane in a jungle, I think it was Bolivia, maybe Peru. Anyway, and like always happens on the mission field, CIU alumni started coming to see me, and coming down the jungle path was Virginia. Charlotte. Coming down the jungle path was Charlotte. She'd been there for years, often alone in that distant tribe, living for Jesus, free and fulfilled. But what about Virginia? Well, that trust part is not always so easy. She struggled on through her time here. I prayed for her, and she seemed to grow a bit in trust, but still she'd often come after class weeping. Can God ever use somebody like me? And she graduated. And a few years later, I found out about Virginia, and she was in Afghanistan. And at the time, that was the worst place you could be on, well, maybe now too, but at first, the worst place you could be on the face of the earth. And there she was, teaching in a school. But you remember how the government was overthrown. So she fled, and fled to Iran. And there she began to witness for the Lord. I mean, this is Virginia. On her vacations, she would take vacation to real easy places like Siberia or Iraq. But here she was settled down in Iran, and that's when the revolution came, which you probably don't remember. And she lived in a cul-de-sac, and people came to her place, ran to her place for safety. Her unconverted Muslim friends and the Christian people came to weak, failing, faltering, fearful Virginia. That's where they came. Well, then the United States government said everybody, all Americans, had to leave. And so she left and went back to Afghanistan. Virginia. She learned to trust. So how is it with you? Has there been a disconnect? Yielding, trusting. I want to give you the opportunity to tell God and His people what your heart is. If somehow or other you know, or you wonder if that yield prong has come unplugged, something you've been wrestling with God with, saying no to God, not an active allegiance to him. In a few moments, I'm going to invite you to stand and say to God and his people, Jesus is Lord, if that's your prayer. And then sit down. But some of you may identify more with Virginia than Charlotte. Fearful. Fearful that you'll never make it. Wondering if God can ever save you from this habit or that threat or this problem. And you're wavering. Can I trust him? Can I trust his power? Can I trust his wisdom? Can I trust his love for me? And this is a bit of concern today. Then I invite you to stand and say, Jesus saves, and be seated. Now, some of you will probably need to stand and say, Jesus is Lord, and Jesus saves. So now is your opportunity to respond to what we've considered this week in making sure that plug of faith is tight with Jesus. So, if you're ready to make a decision, just stand, Jesus is Lord, and be seated. Or, Jesus saves, and be seated. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, blessed Spirit, we want to stay plugged in every day, all day. And indeed, you are Lord, and you do save, and we believe it. Help our unbelief. For Jesus' sake, amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available.